This is a replay of the Tuesday night, February 18th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and if it is on your mind, it will be on mine, providing it has no import whatsoever. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. I don't often get thrown for a loop right before the show, but it happened 2 minutes ago. My buddy Stu Evans in Phoenix said, I know you were very close. Did you hear Gary Stevens died? And I hadn't. All right, Gary died yesterday. And a lot of mixed feelings about that. But certainly he was one of radio's denizens in so many ways. And if you didn't know Gary, he was a really good top 40 jock. And he'd been in Miami at WHAMI and WCKR and WFUN. Briefly, he went to Lucky Keener 13 in Detroit, actually to WYL in between, but then to Lucky Keener 13, where he kept pestering Ruth Meyer for a gig at WMC, and he got it when B. Mitchell Reed went back to Los Angeles. Gary Stevens took over that 7 to 11 shift, and he was there for 3 years. And it's interesting, in that three, he was music director, and 3 years later, he quits. Now, what had happened, he got married for the second time to a British Airways stewardess, Frankie, and he decided, well, you know, she can base anywhere. Let's relocate to Switzerland. And the word was that he was brokering U.S. television shows. I have no idea if he did any of that, but what he was really doing was living off the royalties from those Lost Night record albums for a while that Jerry Green had done on him. But in any event, I'll never forget this because 1970, he comes back to the States. Now, mind you, he has been a disc jockey and a music director, period. This is the extent of his managerial experience in broadcasting. Dave Scribner, who was president of Doubleday at the time, which was a fairly small company back then, but they did have Chris in Phoenix, had an opening for general manager. And Gary went to lunch with Dave, and at lunch, Dave offered him the job. And the only thing I could say is, what the hell were you eating? And so, you know, I couldn't imagine. But he came to Phoenix for 3 years, and then nobody in the company wanted to go to Minneapolis, the Twin Tundras. Nobody. But Gary, you know, hey, I'll go. He went to Doubleday and to the Twin Tundras, to KDWB. And the next thing you know, Dave Scribner is out and Gary Stevens is president of Doubleday, where he remained for a few years, but where his real talent lied was not in running these radio stations. It was actually in selling them. And he did so well at that when the time came that, never forget, he called me up one day. I was still at Billboard, and he said, if I go to work for a bank, will I still be in the tabloids? Will you still write about me? I said, what? And so he had gotten an offer. This was 1985 with Wertheim Schroeder, because they were just starting to get into the idea of financing radio stations. I said, yeah, believe me, Gary, you will. Gary had never been about money. the most he made at Doubleday was about $100,000 a year. And I remember telling a friend, Vic Rumor, actually, about this one day when we were on a boat trip that a lot of broadcasters were. And literally, I had to catch him from falling off the boat. He couldn't believe it. But Gary never cared about that. And that's so funny, because when Gary went to Wertheim Schroeder and then opened his own brokerage, he made more money than anybody, as far as that goes. But along the way, he got Parkinson's. It's probably been about 20 years. I don't know. Don't think too many people in the industry knew it. But sadly, yesterday, he died, 84 years old, and he was living in Delray Beach. And his oldest daughter, who was born in 1970, that was Kristen. She, by the way, was the reason he came back from Switzerland. He figured, oh God, I got to get a real job now, and that's how he got the Chris thing. But anyway, Kristen made the announcement. So, rest in peace, Gary Stevens. Yeah, that was a shock, though. And I could tell you all sorts of other stories that I will not. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm sure he'd reach over from the other side of the veil to get me for some of those. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I just laughed when I saw this. Yum Brands, which owns it, and Yum owns other things as well. They own KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut are the big three. So they have announced that the 11 Herbs and Spices are joining Taco Bell and Pizza Hut in their Plano headquarters. So they're leaving Louisville, basically. And 100 KFC employees will go with them. Now, why I found this interesting is that here's the governor Andy Beshear says, I am disappointed by this decision and believe the company's founder would be too. This company's name starts with Kentucky. It's marketed our state heritage and culture in the sale of this product. Okay, I guess Andy wasn't around when the colonel got sued by, I think it was Frisch's who had the controlling interest then. Yeah, the colonel, after a while, was just so down on these franchises because it didn't taste anything like his chicken, and God knows it didn't taste anything like his mashed potatoes, and especially his gravy. And when he compared it to wallpaper paste, that's when Frisch's sued, and that was big headlines. Meanwhile, the colonel opened another restaurant in Frankfort. And that was Claudia Sanders, the colonel's lady. And, you know, that was really good. I haven't been there now in, oh, God, it's got to be more than 20 years. But that was really good. And they tried to, you know, sue him for that, too, but that didn't work out as well. So what you've got here now is they're trying to get all their brands somewhere in Texas, Plano and Irvine, actually. And, no, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. It is Irvine. That's what I thought. California. Okay. So you got KFC and Pizza Hut in Plano. Taco Bell and Habit Burger are going to stay in Irvine. All right. So, yeah, I always loved Taco Bell for years. I thought it was the Mexican phone company. Yum added that 90 U.S.-based employees who have worked remotely will eventually relocate to the campus where their work occurs. Man, well, I don't know how remote they were, but if they're relocating to Irvine, I hope to hell they're going to be paying them a lot. And so, meanwhile, the KFC Foundation will maintain corporate offices in Louisville. And I think actually Yum Brands is going to stay there as corporate headquarters. So and now, of course, the governor is saying, we've asked to meet with the Yum CEO soon. And yeah, hoping that somehow they'll retain their corporate headquarters, but probably not. So the relocating employees will receive relocation and transition support. Yeah, well, like I say, if they're sending them to Irvine, that's going to be a pricey relocation. All right, so that was the deal with Kentucky Fried Chicken. But I read several articles about that today, actually, and they all were the same theme about how, quotes of, the colonel would be so upset. No, the colonel would be thrilled, absolutely thrilled. By the way, if you're wondering, the first franchise of Kentucky Fried Chicken, before they actually even thought of franchising, was in Utah, in Salt Lake City. And that's actually the guy who came up with the Kentucky name. And that's an interesting story, too. But the colonel's place was in Richmond. And, you know, he didn't expect it to take off. But, yeah, the guy in Utah probably should get some credit, too. But he named it that because he thought that it sounded exotic. Obviously, he hadn't left Utah. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. As I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here on WGN Radio.
When things go wrong, this always happens to me. I never get no answers or sympathy. They just say, one time in school I failed in history. Said to the teacher why this happened to me. It couldn't be my fault, the tests were too rough, she said.
Oh, oh, well that's tough.
Oh, it's tough. I said, don't put me down now, it's you I love, but she just said,
oh, oh, well that's tough.
What's tough?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I thought of it because Donna Malloy wanted to hear That's Life, and I thought, I bet she doesn't want to hear this version, and I will play the Frank Sinatra for him next. But yes, Gabriel and the Angels. Gabriel was one Richard Kellis who wrote and sung lead, and That's Life, 1962 on Swan. So you can bet it was featured on American Bandstand. Yes, and most people have forgotten That's Life, That's Tough. All right, so 888-876-5593. Got a bunch of your requests to play tonight. In fact, the whole week, pretty much, we've got stuff. So if you don't hear it tonight, maybe you will tomorrow and or Thursday. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Paul is in Iroquois County. So, okay, Paul, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes. Well, remember last week we were talking about the song on the TV series Endeavor, called The Guayo.
Yes.
And I looked up a fan site online, and it was written especially for the episode.
Okay.
And the artist was Jack Daniels.
Okay.
Who I've never heard of.
Country. Okay.
But it was a great recording.
Yeah, occasionally you'll hear that in terms of on these TV shows where there'll be some great song and that's the only place you hear it. So did they ever release it after that? And what was it actually called? What was the title?
I believe they called it De Guayo.
That's all they did. Okay.
And it didn't mention anything about it's been released, sort of like the Rachel DRC song.
Okay.
It was on there. So I guess if I want to hear the song, I have to play the episode.
Not necessarily. I might be able to find it for you.
Oh, that would be great.
All right. I will look for it. I very well may be able to do this.
I also have a question about radios.
What about them?
As you remember, radios back in the 50s were big radios that used to sit on the kitchen counter.
Well, the ones that were tubes, certainly that's true. Although many of them did have a handle on top and they were called portable, but at best they were luggable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. And a lot of them were made out of Bakelite.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. What about them?
Well, I would like to get one,
eBay. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and look around and
running on tubes.
Well, you can get them tubes, or you know, the 50s. At some point, you'd get some with transistors if you wanted them.
Some
right. You know, like the Zenith Transoceanic had a tube model, and then later they came up with a transistor model. So transistors came out in 55, Bell Labs. So latter 50s.
They were beautiful radios.
The Transoceanic. The Transoceanic were, but like I say, they were luggable. portable. I had one. I love the way the metal maps folded out to add even a little more weight to it. But anyway, yeah.
But did you think of the reception of those?
Oh, they were great. But, you know, for my favorite AMDXing radios, I've mentioned this many times, it actually was the early 60s, like 60, 61, 62, maybe a little more mm-hmm. after that. The Zenith Royal series, like Royal 275 or Royal 265, those were the best little AMDXers.
And were they large radios?
No, well, they weren't hold it in the palm of your hand, but they were absolutely little radios, and they were kind of a Bakelite thing, and they had a little stand that would, you know, piece of metal that would flip out from it that would kind of hold it up. But I would say they were, memory's probably wrong on this, but maybe 7 inches long by 2 inches thick by 4 inches wide. Sounds about right.
Yeah,
but they just, the Royal series, Royal 275, Royal 285, Royal 265, all of those. But Royal 275 was my favorite, but the others were good. Zenith. It was a Zenith radio.
Zenith.
Yes, yes. And this is AM, obviously, not like the transoceanic where you get all your shortwave and stuff like that. But, you know, I just loved them. And, of course, I'm very hard on my toys, so I don't have things for very long because I will destroy them. And one by one, they fall off the bed. They fall in the tub. They just fall. You know, I get mad and I slam it against the wall. You know, I mean, whatever. But I wish I still had them. But every now and then I see them on eBay, and I'm kind of tempted. Then in about
you're tempted to get them.
Yeah, sure, because they, you know, they'd last a good
and
few
what
months.
What kind of price
me.
Range do you see on?
Oh,
those?
Not much at all, under $100.
Really?
Yeah. Now originally they were under $35, but you know, let me look
yeah.
right now and see what I got on eBay. I'll see if anything's
up. $35 was probably a lot of money back in those days.
Yeah, it was. Well, it wasn't cheap, that's for sure, but it was worth it. So let's see, Zenith Royal. They got 500s and 700s. Let's see if they have a 275. Come on, eBay. You can. Oh yeah, they do. $62 or best offer. The 1959 and the kickstand. Yes, in fact, it's the same color I had too. Yes, it was kind of the black and silver model. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of missed that one. But
and what do they say about them? Do they say, like, good condition or excellent condition?
Absolutely. Here's another 275 for $29.95. Very clean. There's one for $39.97. There's one for $49.99. So you can look at it. And, you know, believe me, you don't have to go do it tonight, because at any time you're going to see these. They're just on there because there were a lot mm-hmm. of them made.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I used to have everything that was Zenith or everything that was Norge, because my adopted dad was the South American contact for Zenith and for Norge. Yeah, the only person in town who had a Norge washer. But anyway, yeah. But so I got all those Zenith things. And Commander Alley was the guy who was president of. He sent me an ashtray once with his name on the bottom of it. But anyway. So, yeah, so I probably will look at this later and maybe get one or two. Why not?
Let me request a couple of songs.
Okay.
Tommy Edwards sang a song called Navajo.
Oh, really?
Which was kind of a neat little song.
Okay.
It fitted his voice.
Yeah, Tommy Edwards had a wonderful voice. He would have been terrific if he would have stopped drinking. But what else you got?
What did he?
Oh, yeah. Nobody wanted to do a session with that guy. All right, who else?
Maybe something very early by Clyde McFadder.
Oh, okay. You mean before he was in the Drifters?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going. Let me see if there. Because I go back to the Drifters, the early 50s. Let me see what I can find before that.
Okay.
All right. Or if not, it'll be an early Drifters on Yellow Atlantic.
All right.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Good to talk to you, too.
All right. So bye. Now I got to find Navajo. Tommy Edwards did a lot of country stuff, actually. A lot of the old Hank Williams stuff. But, of course, so many, many wonderful things. Love Is All We Need, probably my all-time fave. Yeah, all right. So 888-876-5593, 888-88-Raleigh. And we're going to talk to Eduardo. I feel terrible right after the news. I feel terrible because I had planned to see Eduardo this weekend. He was coming to Phoenix. I could not wake up during the day. John tried to rouse me midday Saturday. I'm like, no. So I'm trying to mend my way. So if he comes back next year, I'll actually be awake. But he can tell us all about the travel show. We got tickets. We just didn't go. It was only there till 5. All right. So, and like I said, we'll get Sherry in. There's room for you too on WGN Radio.
Dusk on the desert, sun fading slow, and the sky softly burning like your lips, Navajo. Night on the desert, stars hanging low. In my dreams, I keep yearning for your love, Navajo. I tried to forget you, but your spell was too strong. Your eyes came to haunt me like a Navajo song.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, that's Navajo, and that's from MGM 1959 on the You Started Me Dreaming album, which was actually the second album that MGM put out on him after It's All in the Game hit, and they had an album for that. Other labels that had masters like Region and Lion put out albums, but that was a deal. Now, as far as MGM, and he'd been recording for them, well, since the first time It's All in the Game charted in 1951. See, I could have used him last night when I was talking about artists who had the same song hit the Billboard Hot 100, or at that time 1951, the Billboard pop charts, except it wouldn't have been fair because it was a different recording of It's All in the Game. Same song, same artist, but different recording. A pox on MGM's home, because by the time they released that Tommy Edwards Greatest Hits album, which was a totally wonderful album, there was a huge, huge, huge problem with it, and that's that they decided they were going to simulate stereo. A pox on their home for this. And very often when you're looking for some of the Tommy Edwards stuff, if you have the singles, and I do have most of the singles, that's great. But otherwise, don't pick a CD source, because it's got all that rechanneled stereo garbage like that Greatest Hits album. But nonetheless, that was Navajo. All right, now, 888-876-5593. And Eduardo, and I'm so sad, Eduardo, I really wanted to give you a call, but I just couldn't wake up. So tell me all about the travel show.
Yeah, so that's what John told me. So hopefully, it sounds like you're feeling better now.
I'm feeling a little better. You know, we had to get up early today because I had a medical appointment at 11:30, which for us is the middle of the night. So I've been up ever since then. John took a wonderful nap. I didn't get to do that. But anyway, really wanted to. And like I said, we got tickets and everything, and didn't go. So what did you see?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, there's some domestic banders there. You know, Arizona was there. There was some Asian countries like Taiwan there and all that.
Yeah.
Peter Greenberg was there.
Sure.
And some other people were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Peter walking just as I got in there Saturday, but I didn't get a chance to take a photo. I did last year when I went with my mother in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
It was the same kind of show, yeah.
Yeah, they do it in like 13 cities or something. So, yeah.
Yeah, they got like 3 cities left, though. Mm-hmm. I think they end in Dallas in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we
really wanted to go because, as I say, John announced earlier that he wants to cruise to Hawaii for his birthday, which is fine with me.
Oh, yeah.
Except the problem with that, of course, is cruises mean they dock and they expect you to get off in the morning and see the town. No, I sleep through that. So we need cruises where you don't have to get up in the morning. And or at least maybe something that spends a couple days somewhere. So even if I sleep through one, you know, I'll have the other night or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's people there that could assign, you know, you guys, and I see them all the time when I go to those shows. There, I mean, they're ready to. You get booked there right away. You don't. You don't have to come back another day. Right there.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know. We'll do some research into this. But so anything you saw that surprised you?
Well, I have to say, I was telling John Waymo. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yes, Waymo. The driverless cars, the scourge of Arizona. Yes, they're all over Scottsdale, but now they're downtown, too. I wouldn't take one, but lots of people have.
Yeah, it looked like they're pretty good. I mean, there was a fire truck passing by, and they stopped. So they looks like they're pretty good as far as obeying orders or being aware of traffic patterns and cars around them. So,
well,
and I saw people getting in and get it out. So
that's true, but they have had over 200 accidents, and almost all of them, by the way, were because the car with the driver screwed up. You know, the interaction with human drivers, tailgating and abrupt braking, that's the sort of stuff that that got them. But last June, they recalled like almost 700 cars. You'll love this. To make them less likely to drive into poles. That's a good idea, yeah. And
well, there's a lady producer that I called during the day, and she says she heard of a story where some guy apparently was not able to get out.
Oh, right. The guy in circles. Right, the guy in circles.
That's the one, that's the one, yep.
Yep, we were all laughing about that. He could not, the car kept going in circles and wouldn't let him out. Yeah,
right.
that was good. And then back about a year ago now, I guess it was, two of their cars hit the same truck. Oh, God. So,
I made it a thing of staying away as far as part, because obviously I rented a car because I wanted to visit different towns. Like, besides Scottsdale, I went to Chandler, which was my favorite. Rather, I would say that if I have to have a second home or even think about relocating, I would say Chandler.
Well, Chandler's big, obviously. It's got the mall and everything else. But where in Chandler did you go?
Right there in downtown.
Oh, okay.
They had a farmer's market.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I walked around. I parked the car right there on the street. I love the fact that downtown Phoenix, by the way, is meter parking.
Oh, yeah.
But over here, too, in Chandler, you know, I didn't have to go into the garage. I just parked right there on the main road and just walked and then went to the farmer's market, had some ice cream and...
Yeah. All right. Good.
Sugar Cone. I think in Sugar Cone on Scottsdale Road, I had Sunday, I had some... Some nice roast beef, not too expensive roast beer with chips, root beer, and ice cream.
Good. Sounds good. All right.
Didn't get a kid away. And also had breakfast, too, on Friday, too, when I got in. So
good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good.
And the mall, even the mall over there, Fashion Square, is very nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You betcha it is. Yeah, big, too.
Yeah. I was impressed.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, walking in downtown, too, before the show.
Uh-huh.
So, because I'm the kind of person who likes to walk.
Yeah.
And only drive when it's necessary. So, and I can walk for a long period of time, but if I have a mom with me or somebody else, obviously I have to go and buy a car because, you know, they can't walk like I can.
Right.
I don't think anybody can keep up with me.
That's good. That's absolutely. That's very, very, very admirable. It's good for you. So that's true.
Yeah.
One of the nicest things about Phoenix is, unlike a lot of cities, you can get anywhere in the Phoenix metropolitan area. We're talking about 100 miles across and whatever, without ever going on a freeway if you want to. The surface streets all work.
Yeah, and then you got those, what do they call those, trains?
Oh, yeah, they do have quite a bit of that. Never been on any of them, but they do have quite a bit of them. Yep.
Yeah. When I was going driving on Washington, because I was at the Aloft, which is near the airport, but I was driving on Washington. I like the fact that the airplanes, because it's on the direct path to the airport.
Sure it is.
If you're driving on Washington or even walking, you got the airplanes going, you know, overhead.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the few cities left with a downtown airport. And it's in Tempe, but it basically is downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good.
It was great. Yeah.
All right.
Time.
Well, maybe.
My first time in Phoenix, but I've been in Tucson and Grand Canyon, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe by the time you come back, I'll be waking up earlier.
Yeah. I would definitely go back, obviously, because I was impressed with Chandler, too.
Yeah.
Katze was good, but
well, and next time do Gilbert also, because it's got a really neat, yeah, it's got a little downtown like that of the streets, just similar. Yeah, you'd like
you know, I gotta tell you before I forget, when I was doing research while I was at the hotel, the I was impressed the fact that they have theaters.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So I need to next time I go, I need to go and check out a play or some kind of show.
Yeah.
At one of those theaters. Because I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's almost an endless amount of things to do, and the planetarium and sky gazing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of things.
Yeah. Oh, so Thursday I got Marriott, and then Monday I got that issue with the Florida orthopedic right knee. Remember
okay.
that?
Yes. Yes.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, let
They're
us know.
Just gonna
know.
Have to yank the sac, because if they don't yank the sac, it's just gonna grow back.
Oh, well, as long as they get it all.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking for, but we'll see what the doc says on Monday.
All right. Yeah, well, good luck on that, and keep us posted on Job Search 2025.
Oh, and I got another interview, too, that's going to be coming up with the library.
Good.
And even the law firm was emailing me today saying, do you want to do part-time or full-time? I said, doesn't matter.
Man, a law firm would be great, and they could really use your bilingual skills.
Yeah. So.
That'd be a lot of fun.
We have some more interviews besides Marriott coming up, so I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about it. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay. I'll call later in the week. Okay.
All right.
Thank
Good
you very
deal.
Much.
So we've got Boyer, we've got Sherry, we've got you, if you'll call, and I got the Sea Crane Company. And yeah, you know, we talk about radios with the best reception, and man, I'll tell you, like I say, those Zenith stuff from the 50s and the 60s, early 60s, just wonderful. But of course, many decades ago, Bob Crane was as disgusted as some of us were with the state of radio reception. It just went from sublime to just stupid, as far as that goes, nothing. And Bob said, I can do that. I can do better than that. And boy, did he. He started to design radios, and the focus was always just terrific, terrific reception, AM and FM. And now it's a whole company, and there's all sorts of different radios from which to choose. But the commonality of all of them is that they have terrific reception. And one of the neat radios is the CC Radio EP Pro. It's classic from the past. It gives you the simplicity of needle and dial tuning, you know, the slide rule tuning that you just turn the knob and, you know, tune it in. And one button for power, one button for a bright display light. No clock, no alarm, no bells and whistles. It does have a tone switch, plus bass and treble control to fine tune. But other than that, what it really has is the twin coil ferrite AM antenna, which makes AM listening wonderful. You pick up more and it sounds good. It's also got a line in jack, so you can connect your favorite smartphone or whatever for audiobooks and podcasts for clarity like you've never heard before, because that speaker really is nice. As I say, it's a very simple radio, and it sounds good. I've got one in the bathroom and the kitchen. That's where my EP Pros are, and I love them both. Now, let me tell you something about slide rule tuning, though. If you're thinking it's going to be the way it was in the 50s, it's not, because underneath it all, like everything else, these are basically digital radios. But the neat thing about the EP Pro is when you lock into that signal, you can kind of just tweak it a bit left or right or whatever, and then you'll get it exactly where you want it, that sweet spot, and it will stay there. The original digital radios that had slide rule dial tuning were just kind of abysmal because they would drift. This one doesn't. And so you can take a look at it online anytime at ccradio.com. Look at the EP Pro. If you can't go online, call them. They've got terrific customer service anytime, 24 hours a day. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail if you'd like to see it, and they'll take your order. And that is 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Easy to remember. 522-TUNE. It's also available at BuyMart or Amazon, but get the real deal if you are online. Go to ccradio.com. Read all about it. You'll not only see great products like the EP Pro, but great information about radio, too. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April. shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June. I said that's life, and as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down, 'cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Robin James. And so there it is for Don. That is the That's Life that he wanted, I do believe. Frank Sinatra, 1966 reprise. There you have it. 888-876-5593. Boy, you're in Nashville. What's happening tonight?
Since you were just talking to AM radio on an advertisement.
Yeah.
I'm going to segue. You know, I used to be a DJ at 91 Rock WRVU.
Uh-huh.
So I have in front of me, this is for all our AM terrestrial radio listeners.
Mm-hmm.
The company called Texun has what's called a passive loop antenna.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is, so I have CC Crane, I have old tube radios from the 50s that worked.
Now, of course, originally, by the way, long before they were Texun, they were called Select Antennas. And the Sea Crane company used to sell them. There's nothing new about it. It's under the name Texun. Grundig makes one, Kato, all that. And you just put the radio in front of it, basically.
Yeah, and it looks like a work of art. You could just set it. You could set it in your living room, and people would go, "What is it?" And it has a little knob you can turn.
Well, that's what it is. It's tunable, of course. And it's like magic.
It really enhances terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
So I would recommend mine on Amazon. They're $35. They're worth every penny.
Yeah. No, you can find them, and you can find them actually cheaper than that as well if you look. But
I'm sure.
But they're wonderful. Like I say, they used to be Select Antennas, and I think I've still got a couple around. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought mine like 3 years ago, and it's just beautiful. But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that Texun is nice looking. It's kind of red. It's got a kind of red glow to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you were talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken earlier.
Yes.
And I'll make this quick. I am from Nashville.
Yes.
And Belmont University has the Massey School of Business. So this guy who's founded that school, Jack Massey, was instrumental in making Kentucky Fried Chicken big. He did a deal with John Young Brown III,
right,
who became governor of Kentucky. But Brown and Colonel Sanders are hanging out one night one day at some kind of breakfast. They started talking. Brown knew Massey here in Nashville. He did a major purchase of shares, and from there it exploded because of a Nashville businessman.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because Massey actually got it from Harlan Sanders. He paid $2 million for it in 1964. And then with John Y. Brown, it came into that. So, yeah, absolutely. He also co-founded HCA, Hospital Corporation of America.
He got involved in Wendy's because Dave Thomas was an early owner of some Kentucky Fried Chicken franchises.
Yep. And, of course, I had a deal with Wendy's because when I was handling Charlie Rich's promotion, his business manager, a lawyer from Memphis, Cy Rosenberg, loved Wendy's. And so this is before anybody really knew much about Wendy's. He got the franchise rights for all of Nashville, Davidson County. And I had to take Charlie up to Wendy's. They had a little like university and all that. Take some pictures. I mean, believe me, Charlie didn't make any hamburgers, but he did take some pictures.
Let me throw in one more chicken thing. Did you know John J. Hooker?
Sure.
Okay, I knew John Jay. I had a newspaper here in Nashville. He wrote a column for me. You know, John Jay ran for governor twice.
Right.
It did not happen, but he and Minnie Pearl started Minnie Pearl Fried Chicken.
Right.
And it, I think it was a failure. But
it was, but as you know, Minnie Pearl, you know, who was one of truly Nashville society. I mean, that family had nothing but money.
Vanderbilt, and so did she.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
She spoke like four languages and
right.
had a PhD.
Sarah Cannon, I think, was her name.
Sarah Cannon.
Yeah.
In our, we have a cancer center here. It's part of HCA.
Yeah.
Called the Sarah Cannon Cancer Center.
Yeah, absolutely. No, she was just as classy as could be. And I remember she invited me over one day for lunch, and it was just one of those real classy Nashville. It wasn't Belle Meade, but it was certainly a house that could have been in Belle Meade.
No, she was a great lady.
Yes, I agree.
All right, I'm going to sit back and enjoy your show.
Well, I'm so glad. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
I love it. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. All right, so let's see. Waning moments before the news, and then of course we have two more big hours. So let's see what is on Fran's mind. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, somebody was asking about us and whether we make playlists.
Yeah, right.
No.
Right. You don't make.
No. Yeah. Why? I mean, I don't understand why I would, unless I'm doing a radio show, which I'm
right.
hoping someday we'll do as soon as we get the right equipment going here. But some internet radio thing that
yeah.
we're looking into.
Yeah.
But anyway, unless I'm going to do something like that, I don't see any reason to have. I did, the only time I made an exercise playlist once to try to make myself exercise. It didn't work, so I'm
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I guess I never thought about making playlists, but I had a ton of 8-tracks that I would make for the car. And then when cassettes came out, of course, I had a ton of cassettes I made for the car. And I guess those mm-hmm. are playlists. I wouldn't necessarily think so, but if that qualifies, I have hundreds, you know.
If that qualifies, I do too. In fact, yeah. I used to make them for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. We do that. I'd trade with a bunch of people and stuff like that. Yes, absolutely. But so I guess those count. How amazing. I never would have really thought of it.
Yeah, I never thought of that. But
hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
Yes, the news will interrupt all, and we will return in moments here on WGN Radio.
A little bit of soap will wash away your lipstick on my face. But a little bit of soap will never, 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 ever erase the pain in my heart and my eyes as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soap will never wash away my tears. A little bit of soap will wash away your powder from my chin. A little bit of soap will never, 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 ever begin to take away the hurt that I feel as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soap will never wash away my tears.
Have you heard? When love begins to die, it leaves someone to cry.
Night and day,
like a bird, you left your robin nest, and just like all the rest, you flew away.
A little bit of soap will take away your perfume eventually. But a little bit of soap will never wash away the memory.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was a one-hit wonder, but what a wonderful hit. Laurie Records, 1961, The Jarmels, A Little Bit of Soap. They had been the Cherokees in Richmond, Virginia, and Benny King was singing there, and he ran into them. I don't know if they were doing an opening act or whatever, but he was impressed, and he said, you know, you guys got to come to New York, and he took them around, introduced them to a number of people, including the folks who owned Laurie, and they became the first African-American group that Laurie signed, and they weren't the Jarmels then. They became the Jarmels, which was a street in Harlem, Jarmel, and so that's what they named them. And they put them together with Jim Gribble, who had worked with the Mystics and the Passions, and he became their manager. And then they did release something before, a little bit of Soap, Little Lonely One. You don't want to hear it. But the second single, like a single, was just sublime, just wonderful. And the flip side was actually a Fred Astaire song originally, but Little Bit of Soap was just terrific. And they were able to sing throughout the 60s, a lot of those groups that, you know, later became part of the doo-wop revival and all that. And along the way, Major Harris joined them for a minute and a half before the Delphonics. And no, Major Harris was not there when they had the hit. So anyway, I digress. And that was Fran's request. So all right, Fran, back to you.
All right. Thank you for playing that.
Oh, it's a wonderful song. Wonderful.
I was wondering if they had anything else, because I've never heard of, anything else by them.
They they absolutely released a few other things. But like I say, Little Lonely One came out first, and that was on Laurie. And then they did Geo Gash, which is actually a flip side of I'll Follow You. And then they kept releasing stuff, and you don't want to hear them is all I can say. Unfortunately, but actually, when I say they kept releasing stuff, that was 61. Probably after 63, they gave up at Laurie, and that was it. But like I say, even into the 70s, that record was strong enough that they would be part of lineups on all these various shows.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, they just sound like somebody that should have had more, should have, would have, could have had more hit.
When Laurie had the Royal Guardsman, they actually released Baby Let's Wait, and the flip side of it was the Jarmels, A Little Bit of Soap. And that was...
Oh!
Yeah, that was a re-release for both of them. It was in the 70s. But yes, if you have that Laurie 45, you got the Royal Guardsman, Baby Let's Wait, and the Jarmel's A Little Bit of Soap on Laurie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, painful.
That is one of my, I guess, one that I never think of for one of the worst songs. I'll have to remember that next time.
Right.
Baby
right.
Let's Wait. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Just painful all the way around. So.
Yes, but... Speaking of painful all the way around, I'm dealing with a toe issue.
Oh, I was thinking about that this weekend, because you didn't tell us the last time you went that the doctor wanted to chop and chop more, and you were going to fill us in. So what's going on with the toe?
Well, he chopped, but he didn't chop the right place.
What?
I think my podiatrist must be blind or something.
Or he drinks.
I should be a podiatrist or something. Yeah. Well, because I'm trying to show him, because I've got... kind of a swelling on the side of my toe, and then not right at the toenail, but kind of more towards the front of my toe, I can feel this kind of line where it feels like there's something, like an ingrown toenail, but very ingrown.
Oh, God.
Like, that's been coming on for a while. It's worrying me, because I am diabetic.
No, you absolutely are. Every reason to be worried, 100%. You are not overreacting. I agree 100%. This can be serious stuff. Let me ask you, if you think it's ingrown, have you taken like something and put it under the nail and try to pull it to the side to see whether you can pull the nail up on the side?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what he got that. But it's not in the same place where an ingrown toenail usually is. That's the thing, that it's not on the nail. It's more on the toe part of the toe.
Right.
But it feels like it's very like it kind of burns when I.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. But yourself
and my toes are numb.
No, that's not good. You need a better podiatrist.
And I'm starting to have pain in the rest of my feet.
Your neuropathy and stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It just kind of hurts when I walk, and then now I'm starting to develop a problem with my left knee.
I'm more concerned about the toes right now than your knee. Not that I'm making light of it, because when you're in pain, you're in pain. But, you know, the extremities, like you say, when you're diabetic, this is something not to fool around with. And if he's lifting the nail on the edge all the way out and you're not hitting the roof yelling and screaming, it doesn't sound like it's ingrown. But this is a pain that's caused by something, and you want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, and, you know, as I say, there's a big kind of a knot on the side of my toe, and it hurts when I bend my toe. And but I've been to this guy. Well, I went to him the first time, and I said, you know, because I found out that I have real hard to cut toenails.
Right.
They're real hard. So I found out that I could get my toenails cut because I'm diabetic.
Right.
And I thought, okay, cool, because I think I've got an ingrown toenail.
Right.
Because I used to get them all the time, and you know, when I'd go visit my mom when she was still alive, she'd get them for me if I couldn't get them myself. So anyway, I told him, and he said, "No, I don't see any ingrown toenail, but I could feel it."
Well, you're feeling something. And that's for sure, and that's what you need diagnosed.
And there is something. Yeah, there is something on the edge that I was feeling at that time, and so he kept telling me I didn't have one, and I kept telling him I did, and I finally said, "Could you feel this?"
Yeah.
And, I mean, he didn't even pay attention to that. He just said, "Oh, I see. Yeah, this one little part of your nail is growing in on itself, and I'll get that right away, and you'll feel better," and, you know.
So he theoretically got it, but you don't feel better.
I don't feel better, and he doesn't look where I'm asking him to look.
Find another doctor.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Just trying to find, because I go to Texas Orthopedics, and they're the only ones so far I can find that take my insurance.
Right. That's always a bitch as far as that goes. Is there another podiatrist in that group?
I'm gonna check on that. In fact, I thought they were gonna send me to someone else, because the last time I wanted an appointment, they were gonna give me an appointment in like a month, and my toe was throbbing. I'm like, no, I need something sooner.
Right.
So they sent me to, they said, "Well, we got something sooner, but it's at another clinic." And so I thought, oh, good, another clinic, maybe another doctor.
Right.
And she said, no, it was with doctor, you know, it was the same doctor.
No, that's not good. No.
You know, so I just have to call them and tell them, look, you know, I need another doctor. I don't feel that he's hearing what I'm trying to tell
him. Right, and you have the right to ask for that, and I would. Now, it's possible the skin around the nail, you're saying there might be some swelling, maybe some inflammation?
Yeah.
All right.
I've had that for a while, and it didn't hurt, but now it's hurting.
Well, that actually can be fungal or bacterial. And when it's fungal, oh, my good friend Candida albicans. I tell you what.
Yeah, there was a song about it and everything.
That's a song about it. That's right, exactly. Well, woe be you when it hits your blood. But in any event, if it's bacterial, it's staph. But so it's possible if you had something that was kind of going into the skin, maybe it's not now, but maybe you've got an infection. And so, I would not go to anybody who was treating this lightly, especially with diabetes.
Yeah, I just kind of get the feeling that he just wants to deal with cutting, you know.
Right. Oh, well, sure.
I'm there to get my toenails cut.
Right.
And that's what he wants to do, is cut my toenails. He doesn't want to bother with anything else.
Exactly. So, no, I wouldn't. This is too dangerous. You don't want to wait.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't mean to be a drama queen about this, but I worry about, you know, is this infection going up my leg? Is that why my knee hurts?
Probably not.
You know, those thoughts.
Right. No, believe me, I'm like you. I can, by the time I'm done with it, I don't have limbs. You know, I know where you start to worry, but believe me, and especially late at night. Oh my God, 4 a.m, geez Louise. No, I don't.
I'm thinking things like, how am I going to use a wheelchair and a cane?
Yeah, right, right, exactly. No, we're not going to buy this trouble. But it is fairly common to wind up with little infections that aren't ingrown nails, but you know, are related to them, like I say, or trauma. If, you know, it can be the nail itself digging in, or you could have dropped something on your foot or whatever, and on. So you need somebody who's going to look at your feet. Really look at your feet.
Yeah, and of course, Gary's brother lost both of his feet and started out with, he's diabetic, yeah. He's insulin dependent.
Yeah.
And he started out, he had a sore on his foot, and he had to work, so he couldn't get it checked out, and he kept, you know, putting it off. When he finally got it checked out, they had to remove a couple of his toes.
Right.
And... you know, so like, oh my God, you know, this thing is going on and on and on. You
know? Well, yeah.
I don't want to lose my toes. No. I'm kind of attached to them in more ways than one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I've known people, especially who lose the big toe. And I had a friend who, for 5 years, I was telling him, you know, oh, I'm handling this infection, you're not handling this infection. And finally, they had to take his toe off, you know. And yeah, so you don't want to let this go.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't. And if somebody is just, you know, giving you short shrift and, oh, don't worry about it, that's when you go to someone else.
Yeah, I should have done it 2 or 3 months ago.
Right, but you were right.
Maybe I'm making too much out of this.
Right, exactly. Well, no, you want a doctor who's actually going to take a look at it and be able to diagnose it and not say, there, little girl, it's all fine.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Sure, of course. So sure. You get it because you're female, you get it because you're blind. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yep.
And,
all the way around, yep.
Yep. You've got the quinella from hell. You absolutely don't want to let this go because it is something and we want to know what it is. And I'm very concerned about the numbness. Not that alone is terrible, but what it does is it no longer will allow you to feel things in that numbness that you may need to feel. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're dealing with that already with Gary's hands.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah, extremities. And then, you know, the neuropathy comes. In my case, it feels like somebody's taking a needle and just jamming it right through my foot. You know?
Ouch.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh. And I'm like, ah! And John will know what it is because there I'm in bed, I'm half asleep, ah, you know, and then they'll stop. but these are my friends, as I say, the kind of things I've had most of my life. But believe me, when I get a new thing, I'm like you. It's like, what is this? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, I admit that I've had, you know, problem with ingrown toenails a lot, and my mom would say, you got to go to the doctor. I'm fine. If it doesn't hurt, I'm not going to the doctor.
No. Oh, no, you got to. But believe me, when I was a kid, they burned the nails. You know, they burned the roots out, how they do. And of my four roots of my two big toenails, one of them worked, actually. Never grew in again. The other three, forget about it. They're there. But, yeah, they can. And they've told me since then, well, we've gotten better at doing this. That's nice. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to hear that you've called someone and gotten to someone this week.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
All right. Yep. All right. Report back. I want to know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. All right.
Thanks.
Okay,
bye. A lot,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want to let stuff like that wait. And it's really easy to let it wait, too. And then the results can be painful in more ways than one. All right. We're going to get some requests, actually. I believe that Robert in Stickney has a request. Well, so, Robert, what is your request?
You mentioned the gentleman that called earlier mentioned about Tommy Edwards.
Yes.
There was one song I liked by him, actually two versions. It was like a toss-up, Please Mr. Sun.
Yeah,
that was Tommy Edwards, and I believe Johnny Ray covered it, too.
Yes, it's all true. Tommy Edwards did it twice, actually. Yes. So that's what you want to hear?
Yeah.
The flip side was Morning Side of the Mountain, a much better song, actually. All right. But I'll be... Please, Mr. Sun's what you want, that's what you'll get.
Yeah. Also, I remember two radios. You were talking about radios before.
Yeah.
And back in the late 50s, I was looking at a snapshot the other day of my, maybe 10th or 11th birthday, and on top of the refrigerator was, and you probably recognize the name, It was an Admiral radio.
Of course. What model?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I really don't know. But it was a terrible green. Though.
Okay. All right. That green one. Did it have like a little V? Did the speaker have a V on it almost? And it had a little green handle on top of it, and it was some beige in addition to the green?
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah, I remember this radio. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
And it said Admiral in the beige part on the bottom. And then the speaker was like a V. It almost looked like a Viceroy symbol. But that's the way the speaker. Yes, 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 yes. Those are expensive. That was the Admiral rotoscope. I remember this.
Oh, wow.
Rotoscope. Yeah. Yeah. It was an interesting radio.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was tube yet too. It wasn't even transistors yet. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. I remember the size of this, that there were transistors in this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That rotoscope. I'll see if I can look it up online, because I'm sure there's something about the Admiral rotoscope online if I look. Let's see. ROTOSCOPE radio. I'm sure that's what they call it. Vintage radio.
Yeah,
and then, here we go. Radio Museum.
Yeah.
We found it.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Oh, here's one. I saw the green one like you had, but apparently it also came in a horrible orange. So
oh, wow. I know. Boy, those colors, though.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They couldn't resist all the Bakelite possibilities. All right. So it ran on... I love this. Batteries, any type. No, they don't mean that. I don't care if it says that. They don't mean any type. All right. Right. And now it says 90 volt. No. It. All right. So that documentation's not worth much anymore. So I'll keep looking. But yes, they are available. They're expensive.
Yeah. Probably now. Yeah. There was a couple of years later. This was eighth grade graduation.
They were transistors. Excuse me. They were transistor.
Oh, they were transistors.
Yes.
Yeah. And in 1961 for my graduation present. Eighth grade, I got one of those pocket transistor radios.
Sure.
And it must have been a Japanese name, but I got such a reception. It was spelled Y-A-O-U or something like that. Yeah. But so it had to be maybe a Japanese import, but it had the best reception of any pocket radio I ever had.
Yeah, no, that absolutely was a manufacturer from Japan, Yao Electric. And they did some TVs too. And some of them they market as, I think it was like General or something. They weren't all just Yao, but they were doing that. They had one of the early color TVs, and believe me, it was not NTSC. But it was really weird. But yeah, they were absolutely from Japan, from some city that I couldn't pronounce with, 900 letters in it or whatever. But
right,
But yeah, no, a lot of them were under General. But yeah, those Yao, they were around. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, a wonderful reception on it. I don't have it anymore, but wow.
Okay, I just looked it up, and at the radio Attic, they're showing pictures of Yao radios. How about that? So yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they've got the six transistor shirt pocket model for only $290. Okay then. They've got the shirt pocket transistor from 1959. They sold that one for $125, and the General was $146. So yeah, they're still around.
Yeah, I think it had six or seven transistors.
Six transistor. Yeah. Oh, there's a Yao six. Right now on eBay for $100 or best offer.
Wow, that's
yeah.
Huh.
So yeah, if you ever get a Jones to have what you had, it's probably available.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
And it comes with a leather case.
oh wow! yeah, that's right. That was another big feature back
then. Right. Exactly.
And as far as old. My dad had, I don't know where he picked it up, but it was an old 78 changer, record
sure.
changer.
Sure, oh, well, of course.
And it had the pulse on it, but they looked like blades, and they cut into the record for the next one, to drop the next one. down and all, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, this one was a pretty well-known manufacturer, I think. Stromberg Carlson.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Huge.
Yeah.
And we have the news. So call me back again soon. We'll talk about Stromberg Carlson.
Oh, I will.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So
bye-bye.
That's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
You give your hand to me, and then you say hello. I can hardly speak, my heart is beating so, and anyone can tell you think you know me well, but you don't know me. No, you don't know the one. Dreams of you at night, and longs to kiss your lips, and wants to hold you tight. To you I'm just a friend, that's all I've ever been, but you don't know me. All I say goodbye. I watch you walk away beside that lucky guy. You'll never, never know.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is Mickey Gilley's version of a wonderful Eddie Arnold song, You Don't Know Me. And Jim Ed Norman produced that. Yeah, 1981 on Epic. And that was a request. Now let me find out who I was playing it for. I actually wrote that down somewhere. All right. I'll find it. Oh, Laura and Des Plaines wanted to hear Mickey Gilley's version of You Don't Know Me. Now she has. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Cindy is in Chicago. What's up tonight, Cindy?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the cold weather. It's just making me really, you know, it's making everyone real miserable. And I'm surprised the kids went to school today. I would think they would be remote learning.
Why? Because it's cold? It's winter.
Five degrees.
Yeah, right. 5 degrees. You still go to school. Now, if there's a snowstorm at the same time, you might get out of it. But no, just it's cold. You'd be cold. Go to school.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to tell you what happened with making the appointment at Lutheran General for the new doctor.
Okay. Did you make the appointment?
Yeah, I made the appointment. It's in August, so like a week later. Well, I'm getting all these texts about the appointment, and it's in August. So then, so then I get a bill in the mail. Estimated bill of the appointment for like $500.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you have insurance?
Yeah, and I gave, you know, she was on the list. I have Humana, Medicare Part C. Yeah, because that's what I have. And I gave him my insurance, and they.
Now you say Medicare Part C, is that Advantage?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it should be covered.
Yeah. I don't know. I went to Lutheran General about maybe 10 years ago for my medicine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, I went there and the woman said to me real coldly, "Oh, you didn't pay." And I tried to discuss it with her and I said, "Oh, well, I pay every time I come, like I had a back bill." And then I called up and tried to discuss it with the billing person, and she was real brazen and crazy and out of her mind.
How long ago was this?
About, well, about, five, 6 years
then
ago.
Then we don't care. That's old history. Now, we don't care. About this bill, though, which was an estimate of charges, did you call them to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, my insurance covers this?
No, I just canceled the appointment. I figured from past experience with them,
okay,
they're
good enough.
I call, she told, you know, okay, I just want to tell you what they did over the psychiatric.
If you can do it in three sentences, I want to hear it.
Okay, she screamed at me that I had been there 15 times, and I called Medicare, and they said I had been there 5 times.
Okay. Yeah.
So I just said, right, well, maybe it's some kind of Medicare fraud. I would have nothing to do with Lutheran General.
So ever. Very, very good. So now you make an appointment somewhere else.
Well, yeah, I'm just at Resurrection Presence Center for Health.
Okay.
And that's it. And I guess if it's not broke, don't fix it.
And by the way, Chicago Public Schools do not close the schools unless the actual temperature is lower than minus 20 degrees or if the wind chill is lower than minus 30.
Oh, my God.
So that's the way it works.
Too old.
Well, yeah, I think that's reasonable. It's winter. You know, I mean, hell, if you were in Nodak, you'd see that every damn day. So, you know, probably upper Minnesota, too. So, you know, get used to it. It's winter.
But then, anyhow, I just want to recommend, if I went on, I have a UTI, and I went to that well now on Harlem in Montrose.
Okay.
Because that's what I didn't want to go to the one on Cumberland, the immediate or urgent care.
Okay.
And they were just so professional and they were wonderful.
Good.
And I just want to recommend it for people in the area, that place on Harlem and Montrose.
All right. And they gave you something for the UTI and they're watching it.
Yeah, the other place only gave me last time when I had one in June, they gave me antibiotics for 3 days,
right,
and it didn't go away.
Right.
And I told her, what can you give me for 5 days? And she gave me for 7 days.
Well, there's so many different antibiotics they could be giving you, from Bactrim to Cipro to Amoxicillin. You know, so it depends in part on what they're giving you for how long you'd be taking it.
Oh, well, it didn't go away with it.
Right. Right. Well, and you don't want to fool around with that, but I mean, there's so many different possibilities to treat that. So,
they said they'd grow the culture, and if it was the wrong antibiotic, they would call me.
Yeah. And sometimes they give you sulfa drugs too. So yeah, well, hopefully it will work out and you will be done with it.
Yeah. And she was a nurse practitioner. I don't know what her name was, but she was so nice, professional. Mm.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, very often they give you Bactrim, but, you know, the sulfa drugs have been around forever for that. But whatever it is, hopefully it will not be there soon.
Okay,
all right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, yeah. They can get serious, UTIs, especially as you get older, as far as that. They're nothing to sneeze at. So, yeah, but of course, some of those antibiotics, oh, man. Yeah, that's for another show. Jim is in Richmond. Hello, Jim. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. Thank you for taking my call.
Always. What's up tonight?
I wanted to tell you what happened in Skokie with the water main
break.
Yeah. But what Cindy was just talking about, I have Humana too.
Okay.
And this morning I get a phone call from the clinic that I go to for my primary doctor, and they said, we got a request for a refill on prescription, but my past primary doctor retired December 20th.
Okay.
So they said, you need to make a 6-month appointment, with the new doctor,
right,
which is someone named Pope.
Okay.
And I said, okay.
Right.
So they made the appointment and everything, and then CVS has a computer that if you have a prescription that needs to be filled, they already call
right
request. So I called them and they got the prescription taken care of.
Good.
And then 15 minutes later, I get a phone call from Humana saying that your appointment in June of 25 June. Has been approved,
okay.
And your bill will be $470.
What?
And then, then they turned around and said, your insurance is covering it for $470.
Okay.
So you're clear.
Right.
So that's what Humana is doing now, is they're, you know, if I make an appointment to go see another doctor, they will send me a notice that's what's going to cost,
and
that's what we're going to cover.
Right. Well, that's good.
Cindy should understand when they said $500 that she should look into what they're going to cover.
Right, because it might not be out of her pocket. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then I wanted to tell you what happened in Skokie, because I have family living in Skokie.
Yes, you do.
On Friday, a 36-inch water main broke.
Oh, God.
And flooded everything within miles of where it broke, at Emerson and East Prairie.
That turned out
to be the main water main that feeds the whole village of Skokie.
So were they without water?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the whole thing is there were cars and homes and everything in that area that had 2 feet of water.
Oh, God.
And remember what the temperature is.
Right. It's exactly.
So there are still cars covered up to the door handles in ice.
Oh, God.
And there's basements that are flooded and everything.
Oh, God.
And then when listening to WGN, because I live up here, you know, they said that Old Orchard Mall had to close.
Right.
And you know where that is,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
Niles North, which is right next to it, had to close.
Right.
And they were mentioning all these things. And the whole town was out of water.
For how long?
My sisters, My sisters live at least 4 miles away or more from the water main break. And they said they turned the water on Friday and there was nothing. And they live in downtown Skokie. So they turned the water on, there was nothing. Saturday, there was a trickle. And then on Sunday, the water started to flow again. But they were told everyone not to touch
Don't drink it. Yeah.
Don't breathe it.
Right.
And everything, you know,
right.
And
yeah, of course.
Don't bathe in it and everything. Right. So when I talked to my sisters on Sunday, they were saying, yeah, we're boring water right now so we can do the dishes.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And so is it still the case? Have they gotten it all clear yet?
No, it's all back on.
Okay. All right.
Monday they told everyone that the water's back on, but they have to start at the bottom of their house, turn the faucets on, run them for 5 minutes,
right.
Then go to the next level, turn the faucets on, and run it for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting here afterwards, because WGN said that Old Orchard was closed, the high school was closed. There's a hospital right on Gulf and Skokie Boulevard, and what did they do? But they never mentioned anything, you know?
Yeah,
so I was worried about the hospital.
I would assume they have backups for all that and redundancies.
Right. And then the grocery store that's on Gulf and Skokie Boulevard, they stayed open, but they couldn't use the chef's kitchen. They couldn't use the meat department, and they immediately were out of water.
Of course,
they bought everything, even the expensive fruit flavor.
Oh, of course.
Drinks,
absolutely.
They did.
Yeah, no, that would be a run on it. Of
right.
Course.
And then my sisters live, like I said, in downtown Skokie, which is like 3 or 4 miles away. They didn't have any water, but over there at Tui and Nile Center is the other jewel, and that's Village Crossing, because they get their water from Niles.
Right.
So they were out of water because everybody drove over there to get water.
Sure.
So they had 3 shipments of water as fast as they could get them to the store.
I'm sure.
So, you know, so then now everybody is back together. But
good.
I just couldn't believe it, that the whole town from that 36-inch main was cut off. And you don't hear any stories about, you know, all the stores and the restaurants and everything that had to close.
Absolutely,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it was a major thing. And then, like I said, I used to live there, and you know, and then those were the, when I worked for Jay's, those were the routes that I had to deliver to and everything. Uh-huh. And I figured it all out that at Emerson and East Prairie is right next to Golf and McCormick.
Okay.
And that's where the pumping plant is.
Well, there you have it.
So that's when the main broke. That pumping plant was the one that provided all the water for Skokie.
Sure.
So.
And at that point, they got to turn things off at that point. You can't just allow it to flow. Right, exactly.
Right.
Well, I'm glad it's back to normal.
Right. My brother called me. He lives in Niles, but he, you know, takes care of my sisters.
Right.
And he said that they put in a patch to stop the water flowing.
Yeah.
And that broke, you know, and then, you know, and then now they got it all running. But I could not believe that one little water main, 36-inch water main.
Yeah, it's not one little. It was obviously a major issue. They had to shut things down after that, of course.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And I just, you know, thought you'd want to know. And,
absolutely.
But, you know, I don't know of any horror stories of anything else, but other than, you know, not having any water for 3 days.
Well, that's a horror in and of itself. You know, you start to realize how much you're dependent upon that water. Yeah, you betcha. All right, well, I'm glad it all worked out, and it's wonderful to hear from you. Call me again soon.
Yeah, and tomorrow I go to see the eye doctor because my vision is worse than it's ever been.
I hate to hear that. So, all right, well, I want a full report after that.
Okay.
Thank
you.
All right. Thanks for calling. And we'll get back to it. I think we have something to do before the news right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Hollywood Flames. We'll talk about them some night. Yeah, that was one of Bobby Day's groups, and it hangs in, well, there's a lot to talk about. But right now, there's time for the news on WGN Radio.
Who is gonna love me? Not you. Wondering who is gonna hold me and keep me warm when I'm cold. Who will I wake up for through all those lonely years? these tears? And who is gonna kiss me if you walk out the door? There'll be no one new, not for me, 'cause my whole life is you. Darling, if you don't wanna love me,
I'm Raleigh James. Boy, that just brought a flood of memories back. 1968 on Scepter, of course, Back Reckon David wrote it, and Dionne Warwick sang it. And it was Laura in Willowbrook who said, play any Dionne Warwick that you like. I think I like that one best of all. All right, so there you have it. Now we have Rita in Harwood Heights. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I just wanted to comment on about that flood in Skokie. I lived in Rogers Park for about 25 years, and I know that area very well.
Yeah.
And when we have a big flood like that, it affected not only Skokie, but also Evanston.
Well, the water comes from Evanston. It's Skokie's water. I mean, the city of Skokie owns their infrastructure, but the water itself is coming from Evanston.
Right. And so it affected the hospital, you know, the emergency room, the operating rooms.
Sure.
All the, you know, and also Skokie Valley, the old Skokie Valley Hospital is now called North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that around the old Orchard area, it extended for a really big area there. But in addition to that, they had, of course, a lot of being around, you know, Valentine's Day. They had so many people who were supposed to be out celebrating, and
all
these businesses were losing business like crazy, and they had to waste a lot of their food.
Yes, that's so true.
But also,
no recourse either, because, you know, it's not like they can sue the city. They could, but the problem is the reason for this was a fitting cap failed, and that fitting cap was installed in 1963, and it's supposed to have a lifespan of 80 to 100 years, so the city can't, you know, be guilty of negligence. So I don't think any of those businesses have any recourse at all.
No, and then the bad thing about it was up around Mount in the north North Ridge area,
mm-hmm.
there was a fire, an apartment fire.
Oh.
And it started apparently in, it was a 12-unit building,
mm-hmm.
and it had started in the, apparently around the first floor.
Oh.
But it sounded very suspicious because the stairwells in the front and as well in the back were just blazing, and the fire went from the bottom all the way up to the roof. And the firefighters were trying to battle that fire, but they were handicapped. And then two of them had fell through the broken, because of the stairwells were breaking, you know, from the flames.
Sure.
The firemen were injured.
Oh.
But then two on the first floor, there was a mother and a 6-year-old boy. I don't know if the boy was sick. Maybe he had stayed home from school because of the being sick or something, but he ended up with such severe burns, he died at the scene.
Oh.
And, yeah, it was very, very sad. And the mother was very badly injured, but she had to get to a hospital. And, of course, both hospitals were closed down. And so they ended up having to take her to Lutheran General. I don't know how they got her there, but somehow through side streets or whatever.
What a time for a fire when you've got no water. Now, what city was the fire in? Because it wasn't in Skokie, was it?
No, it was in Chicago, around North Ridge area.
All right. But they were affected by the outage?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, that's...
It was not just, you know... And then some of the people in Skokie had these electric cars. So they had the charging stations in their garages, that's ruined.
Well, not only that, I'll tell you what, with some of those electric cars, when they're submersed in water, they explode. We saw that in Florida a lot during the hurricanes. So that can be a huge, huge problem. Whoa. So, horrible the timing of that. Sorry to hear it.
It's so sad to see that little boy who had to die. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, sadly, when you're burned to that degree, I'm glad he didn't survive that. You know what?
Of course.
You know that level of pain and suffering and all that. No, I don't wish that on my worst enemy. Well, maybe my worst enemy, but certainly not on that child.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time because you need to play some more music for people. But
I will. All right. Well, good to hear from you. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So,
bye-bye.
Yeah. Man, can you imagine that timing? Right. Right. No water. Well, a lot of that was starting to happen when the California fires broke out, because, of course, they had the dam there that hadn't been filled in, what, over a year? So same thing there. Laura in Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio. Hope you heard your request.
I did. I'm calling first to say thank you.
Oh, sure. My
Any
pleasure.
Any Dionne Warwick song works for me, and okay. I love that one. Thank
Good.
You.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Another reason I'm calling, I'm just curious. I found out some good information on making money or finding money or whatever. So I'm wondering if you're a garage saler or if you used to or have ever been.
Well, you know, to an extent, more with friends. Like through the South, I had a friend who collected Depression wear, and so I can't tell you how many garage sales I went to with him finding his Depression wear, and you know, so everybody collects something. But when I was younger, I used to go to the drive-in swap meets, usually in September when kids would go back to college because their parents would bring their records there. And I got all the Yellow Atlantics one time for like a nickel a piece. I'll never forget that. And that had to be 1950 something, but it's been a long time.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good. I've heard about swap meets, but never been to one. That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, the reason I brought it up, I'm curious because we kind of know some things about you, but I just wondered about that. For years ago, I sold some things on eBay and made a few bucks, but I just got too busy to continue with it. But I've been watching these places where they go to the storage auctions.
Right.
They go and look at the auctions. They buy stuff not knowing what it is.
That's right.
And hoping to make some money.
Yes, absolutely. That's true. By the way, about eBay, you're right. Back in the day, it was great to be a seller. Now on eBay, it's lousy to be a seller. It's good to be a buyer, but lousy to be a seller. A seller can no longer rate a buyer. The buyer is
really
The buyer is always right. So I would say,
Not good.
No, it's not. In the past, it was great to be a seller. Now it's good to be a buyer. But yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't want to sell anything there. But and you were right after that. I interrupted you. You were mentioning other than eBay, what?
Oh yeah. So I've been
the storage lockers.
Yeah, and
yes.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm going to go back to selling again. But I'm going to skip eBay since you said that.
Yes, you'll see it, and you can read a lot of that. There are storage auctions all over the place, and by the way, a lot of online things as well. And so
you've read my mind.
Yeah, right. There are local auctions, and you know, for you can do it in various cities. It's interesting because many years ago, it turned out that Kenny Gamble had all his gold records in a storage locker, and his ex-wife at the time, Dee Dee Sharp, she didn't pay the bill. And so, And so the storage locker owner came to Val Shively and said, "You want some gold records?" So, Val got all the gold records. So, it's interesting what you can find. Now, of course, it's a lot like a grab bag thing, because you don't know what's in the storage locker.
That's for sure.
You know, that's the thing. Who knows? And, you know, people bid on several at once, you know, and all that. You know, who knows? So, I guess if you're, you know, into gambling or just, you know, don't care if you lose, I guess. And then, of course, if it's not close to you and you want this stuff, you got to get it.
Well, yes. And it's not like they give it to you. You have to go and get it.
Oh, yes, you
take
do.
Take it away. And
right,
yes.
Right. So, you know, if you're living in Chicago and you just bid on something in Tacoma, Washington, this is going to be expensive.
You got that right.
Yeah.
You got that right.
But yeah, most people try to do it fairly close to home.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching this for years, and I'm, for some reason, it just dawned on me because I on this email list for the storage auctions. So I was like, okay, storage auctions within 50 miles. Unfortunately, they don't do it in person in this website, so it's online. But oh my gosh, some of the stuff, it's like pieces of furniture. Like, who's going to carry pieces of furniture? Or a big thing is mattresses. Oh, I wouldn't buy a used mattress. No way.
Oh, of course not. Now, the only ones I'd ever bid on, if I were going to be of the mind to do this, which I probably never would be, but if I was, is climate-controlled storage. I would never do it with not being climate-controlled.
Oh, really? Because I did notice that there are some that are climate-controlled.
Yeah, a lot
Why
of them.
Why is that?
A lot, well, for one thing, if they're not climate-controlled, depending on what's in there, between the heat and the cold, may be worthless. But the other thing is they tend to be dirtier. The climate-controlled are usually cleaner. Not always, but, you know, I've seen some where I thought, whoa, but, you know, especially the ones that are in buildings, you know, maybe it's on the third floor of a building, that type of a climate-controlled unit is probably going to be darn clean.
Oh, good. So, I'm glad you got that input. And watching this, I was like, well, you kind of look and on the TV, they say, oh, there's a bunch of boxes. Of course, you don't know what it's in. And then they might show a bike or a TV, but you don't know if the TV works, if it has the wires that go with it.
Right.
So it's just, like you said, it's just kind of a guess. But there's this one that's going for like $800. I'm like, oh, no, that's way out of my budget, unless I knew what was in there.
Well, right. And, and yeah, you can see the picture online usually of just a wide-angle shot of what's in it, maybe. But when they're going for $10, okay. But when they're going for $400, maybe not. But I guess if you want to do that. Now, what I don't know, let's say you win one of these. Are you responsible for getting the stuff out of there? You know, or like that could be money if you had to have it taken to a dump or something. Or can you just leave it there? You know, I wonder what your liability is for that.
Well, that's a good question, too. And I'm glad you brought that up because I know, like, if it's something that somebody could actually use but I don't want,
right,
like Salvation Army or stuff, they'll come and pick stuff up and take it away for no charge. But it has to be something that they can resell, obviously.
Well, right, exactly. And they might not want to take, you know, an entire storage locker full of stuff that they don't know what it is either.
Right. So, yeah, I got to be careful on that. But I thought, well, if I check out the ones that are like at $0, $20 or something, and it's just a bunch of boxes, it can't hurt to try it, but I'm going to give it a try, and I'll let you know how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be very curious what you find.
Yeah, but I'm going to start in the low end. I'll start at the zero auction and go from
there. Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, for $5, how can you lose? But yes, do find out if you're responsible for getting the stuff out of there.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Raleigh.
All right.
Good. Great input as always.
Right.
You have a good day.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate
it.
All right. So 888-876-5593. We've got Ruth and Gurney. We've got James on the south side. We've got another bumper coming up, too. One of your requests on WGN Radio.
City streets you used to walk along with me, and every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me. I was born to love you, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Oh, 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 oh. When shadows fall, I pass the small cafe where we would dance at night. And I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me? Always something there to remind me. I was born to love you, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And yes, that's Lou Johnson. And I love Lou Johnson. That's not my favorite Lou Johnson by any means, but it's a fine Lou Johnson. And that was Lisa and Dundee's request. That was 1964. And it was on Big Hill Records. If you know anything about Big Hill Records, you know more than I do. But it was. He'd been on Big Top before that. But I figure that since we're starting on about Lou Johnson, we'll have to hear Magic Potion and my favorite Unsatisfied coming up. So 888-876-5593. Is 8888 Raleigh. Is Ruth and Gurney still with us? Are you still awake, Ruth?
I am here, Raleigh.
All right, Ruth.
It's a holly jolly, a holly jolly St. Patrick's Day, the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer, no beer. I have had delivered to me at the very end of Chinese New Year's more fortune cookies and gold chocolate-colored coins, green. And I have hundreds of them and kindness coins, and I'm going to have just not three coins in the fountain, but I have a Chinese fountain, and I will have hundreds of chocolate coins in the fountain.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that's a great start for St. Patrick's Day. I especially wanted to do it during Chinese New Year's because a powerful noble saint regarding the year of the snake. So I got that in early. And then I called specifically because there's another feather in the cap for Mayor Brotherhood of Gurney.
What's going on?
Roller Coaster has been named an honorary best roller coaster in the United States at Great America. Remember when I first started calling you, I would say Ruth from Great America.
Yes.
Well, their chaplain is our pastor from St. Paul the Apostle. But Mayor Brotherhood got his delivery of fortune on the fortune cookie side of the street. By the way, Girl Scout cookies are up for grab.
Okay.
And I remembered boxes and boxes and boxes that came in at the homeless shelter, knowing how expensive they were donated, and nobody was taking them. Mm. And I thought, this is karma for you.
Mm-hmm.
My Girl Scout troop that I hosted in my backyard so they could go to Great America, they gave me a pair of roller coaster salt and pepper shakers.
Uh-huh.
And thanks to you, I put salt in them and throw it over my left shoulder.
Yes.
To get rid of the devil.
Yes.
roller coaster salt and pepper shakers.
All right.
This fortune cookie won the Super Bowl, and it traveled to a street in Gurney named Patriot. They were delivered fortune cookies, and then it went on its way to the teen group that went to Philadelphia. And there just were several incredible connections that brought that unusual circumstances that the Super Bowl won the Eagles. So here we have now another feather in Mayor Brotherhood's cap for Gurney, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's absolutely amazing. So I thought that was great news.
Yes.
About the roller coaster and my salt and pepper shakers, too. By the way, Laura, she went to a buffet and handed out coins. And I thought that was one of the most unique, interesting stories. But she did not say who the buffet was, where it was, and what, you know, they were charging. Because buffets are hard to come by lately.
All right, I hate to do this, but we're a minute into the news, so I will talk to you again soon. We will pick it up with buffets.
Good night.
All right, thanks.
Good
appreciate
night.
It. Now, as for that news on WGN Radio.
A gypsy, hear his plea. He loves her oh so desperately.
Oh, gypsy, hear my plea and make her care for me. I love her from the very start, but I can't see to win her heart, so please, oh please, help me. Gypsy, won't you make a magic potion, the kind full of handy potion. I'm thinking of magic potion number 3. please be kind before I lose my mind. I tried a million magic charms, but I can't get her in my arms. So please, oh please, help me. Gypsy, won't you make a magic potion? The kind for lover and devotion. I'm thinking of magic, your number to be all night. Keep on mixing that magic potion to stimulate her emotion. It's gonna take lots of magic potion till she's mine. And I gotta make her mine.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. More Lou Johnson and more Backrack David. That was the flip side of Reach Out for Me 1963 on Big Top. And I was thinking about it with this Big Hill, which is what There's Always Something There to Remind Me was on. And Hill and Range owned Big Top. So that's near as I can tell what the connection was to Big Hill. But Big Top was getting in trouble pretty early on. And actually it was Freddie Beanstalk's brother, Johnny Beanstalk, who pretty much started Big Top. And of course, Freddie Beanstalk, the woman who had been married to Herb Abramson, one of the partners in Atlantic originally, and he got back from the service, they got divorced, and she married Freddie Beanstalk. So there was a connection there also. So yeah, Big Hill, I think, only released Lou Johnson, their entire label run. But, you know, until then, Big Top had some good people, Del Shannon and Donna Juan and Miss Tony Fisher and Sammy Turner. Don Covey did some stuff, and Curtis Lee did some stuff, as far as that goes. And you're saying, wait a minute, Curtis Lee was on Dunes. He was, but there's a connection. It was the same distributor. Anyway, I digress. But next I will play you yet another Lou Johnson, my favorite of any of them, and it's not a Backrack Hal David record, it's Unsatisfied. All right, but Ruth called back, wanted to know about something I played. So, Ruth, what were you wondering about?
Hi, Riley. Thank you for taking the call. It was the song You Don't Know Me. I wondered who the artist
Mickey
was.
Mickey Gilley.
And by the way, that Magic Potion song that you just played, that was unique, especially if it had been for St. Valentine's Day. But I'd rather do that. The Magic Potion Doesn't Know Me. You can't imagine how much better I felt all day today after I had a freeze put on the witchcraft spells.
Well, good.
I mean,
good.
I just feel so much better. You can't imagine. I can hold a phone in my hand. I can hold my head up. You know, just all kinds of things.
All right, so, but
so
you were calling to ask a question. You wanted to know who did You Don't Know Me, and that was Mickey Gilley, 1981 on Epic.
Did anyone request that song, or was that a bumper?
No, it was requested, and that version was requested. Of course, originally it's an Eddie Arnold record. He co-wrote it, but that was the version that was desired, and now I'm trying to find out where I put that in terms
well,
of
that's a name we don't hear
it.
Often, Eddie Arnold.
Oh, well, yeah, he was great. And let's see here. It was Laura and Desplaines who requested Mickey Gilley's version of You Don't Know Me.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. Have a fortune cookie evening.
All right,
good
you
night.
Too. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, I get hungry when Ruth calls. It's not a good sign. 888-876-5593. And Laura called back from Willowbrook, and she has buffet information. Yeah, I'll be hungry before this is over. All right, Laura, what is it?
I was going to say, well, I'll take part fault in that.
Yeah.
The buffet I went to is Golden Corral. They still exist out
yes,
there.
Yes, they do exist.
And the one that I paid was $15, but it varies depending on time of day, day of the week, and if you're a senior or not.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thanks, Riley.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right.
So 888-876-5593-8888. Riley. And that is going to take us to James on the South Side. How's it going, James?
How are you?
Well, I can't complain. How about yourself?
Well, I haven't fallen. I haven't. Okay, I made myself some chili.
Okay, good. Chili's good.
Yeah, so that was good.
Yeah.
And I gotta admit, when I put this list of ones that I sent you, there was a couple ones that I said, This, okay, what's going on here about abusing dogs?
But here's the deal. You can't keep sending me this many stories because that becomes more of a problem than a help, you see. And don't send them when they're foreign. Like I was going to talk about the kid injecting butterfly remains.
Yeah,
but that happened in Brazil.
And the thing was, I couldn't get the story thing to go. If I had a guy, I would have
remember. Err on the side of not sending. I don't care if you never send me anything, but if you send something, make sure that it fits. Otherwise, because, you know, I'll get emails, and sometimes I'll open emails, and it'll be like 803 new emails, and it's only been 2 hours for me. So you can see that what I'm not looking for volume. So even if you only send me one or two or none, that's okay. Now, as far as stories I loved the Costco cake story. And this was a wild opossum hospitalized after devouring an entire Costco cake. And it was in Nebraska. That's okay. That's in America. And apparently the woman had been storing things on the porch. She sent her son out to check on something. And he said, "Mom, I'm not going out there. There's an opossum out there." And she, "Yeah, right." And so she goes out there. And not only does she see the offensive opossum, but she sees the brown paw prints covering her brand new beige couch on the porch. And, of course, here's the panting opossum collapsed on the furniture because it devoured the cake. Now, the woman thought, "Oh, my God, well, it's dying. Maybe it can't eat chocolate like dogs are." Well, it turned out that she saved the opossum's life. Not that she probably wanted to at this point, but it had contracted lead poisoning, which they would never have found if she hadn't called animal control, who came and got the opossum and is treating it. They'll release it back to the wild.
Okay, yeah, that was a good one. The sad one, the one where they bought the little 7-pound dog looking for love.
Right, right. Now, by the way, I have to tell you on this opossum story, my favorite was one of the comments where she said, I'm not surprised about this. I eat a whole cake and I'm panting too. I'm thinking, don't admit you eat a whole cake, lady. Just don't do it. You
know?
Yeah, that was worth it right there.
Some of the comments are as good as the story.
Yes, yes, exactly. So we have a number of them. So I have not yet read, and it's a Chicago story, the story about a Chicago mom of six who celebrated her 29th birthday and she was shot dead.
Yeah, that was sad. Then there's the one where out in, I think it's Utah, Wyoming.
This Wyoming story takes the cake. And this is another one where you almost need to diagram it. And fortunately, the woman killed herself. But this is the mother of four who killed the four kids. The one kid lingered. That's the one that they airlifted from Wyoming to Utah. And she ultimately died. And so did Mom. Mom apparently had been married twice. The first two kids came from one father. And the second two came from another father. But what I thought was interesting is the second two, the father, I guess he was still married to this woman. And his whole deal was, "I don't want her to be remembered as some kind of monster." And I'm thinking, well, you know, so now the question is, why did she do it?
Now, the only thing that I got from the story, and this was one where the thing came up the full story, at least on both, as well as about the follow-up where what had happened to the last child.
Right.
Is apparently she was suffering from some elements of postpartum depression.
Right.
Now, she had two kids, the twins was like 2 years old.
Right.
Okay, if she's suffering from that, it's too bad that somebody should have just simply said, you gotta get some help because you should not be having a gun in with you when you had."
Clearly she shouldn't have had access to firearms. And you wonder about her husband there. But usually what happens in these cases is that people around her, and there were a number of people interviewed who said, "Oh, no, this is just not like her." They make all the excuses in the world saying, "Well, it's not that bad. Well, she'll be fine." And unfortunately, sometimes they're not. And most people who suffer postpartum depression do not go on to kill their children.
That's right, but there was something that triggered
that's what I'm asking. What was it?
Yeah, and I'm like thinking, And then the thing was, she called the 911 and basically, I said, no, it's too late and doesn't want to stay. And I feel sorry for the people who have to do that kind of work, where they're trying to keep the person on the line and hoping against hope that she had a bad aim, that it's not as bad as it seems.
It
and
is.
That's what I thought at first. And then when I read it, I said, the two babies were basically already dead because I said, oh, good.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a good story. It wasn't a good story at all. Now, on an interesting story, I don't know what it means, if it means anything, but seven planets to appear simultaneously. And it'll do that again in 2040 for those of us still here. That wouldn't be me. But for a brief period at the end of the month, every planet will appear in the night sky simultaneously. Now, you won't see them all, from what I understand.
Yeah, well, astronomers will get amateur and pro will get a kick out of that one.
Yeah, Neptune and Uranus are not going to be visible without a telescope, but Mars, Jupiter, Venus, Mercury, and Saturn will all be visible to the naked eye. As far as Neptune and Uranus, you might need binoculars. But planetary parades happen regularly, but usually they're not seven planets. So six happens occasionally, but so it won't be till 2040. So if you're into looking at planets, this would be the time to get out the telescope and get ready.
Yeah, and I won't mention about the chihuahuas. That kind of sickened me.
Right,
I said,
right. We're 63 chihuahuas. Yes, deplorable conditions. You're right. We'll leave that alone. But as always, thank you. But less is more. All right.
Okay.
All right.
You won't get any more for the unless it's something
exactly. Right. If there's something like that where you say you got to be talking about this, then send it to me. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
You
appreciate
take
it.
Care.
Yeah. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And there was a headline that said update about the chihuahuas, and then they had a bunch of pictures there, and one of them was a ton of Amazon boxes. I think, what, are they sending them out by Amazon? No, that wasn't the story. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we'll get to Carl in Riverside right after this on WGN Radio.
Don't you turn aside, don't you leave me so unsatisfied. The coldness of your kiss leaves me unsatisfied. Don't make me feel like this. I'm so unsatisfied that it hurts, but it's more than my pride that you have stepped on. It's heartaches that I face. I'm so unsatisfied, don't you know? Don't you turn aside, don't you leave me so unsatisfied.
WGN Radio. That's my fave by Lou Johnson. Yeah, unsatisfied. It's a flip side. And Bernie Baum and I forget what Giant's first name was. His last name was actually Zimmerman, but they produced it. And I thought it was a great, great Lou Johnson record. A flip side, of course. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Carl in Riverside, what's up?
Oh, is that me, Raleigh?
It is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got caught. Hey, I just came in. It's really cold. Let my brain, it's frozen.
Ah, understood. You know?
So, but well, first of all, I'd like to say "Ai Chihuahua," and secondly, that opossum story really takes the cake.
Yeah.
But what I really called about—I'm sorry. What I really called about was who wrote the song number one? You Don't Know Me, because that I don't know.
Eddie Arnold co-wrote it.
He did.
Yeah,
okay,
and absolutely.
I remember him because I think you and I are not too far off with our age. We're what, like 39?
Right? Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, it's one of those things.
But I was curious if you ever heard this version, or maybe you can play it sometime. Have you ever heard the version of it by Kenny Loggins?
Yeah, I'm not a Kenny Loggins fan, but I am aware of the record.
I kind of assumed that.
Yeah, yeah. But it wouldn't
anyway,
take much, that, would it?
Well, that takes care of that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, though? You know what I like about you? Your brutal honesty.
Well, there is
that's
a given. It's absolutely a given. So yeah. But
don't like it is. Why hold back?
Ray Charles had a nice version of "You Don't Know Me" too, and that was a big
hit.
I
think I heard that.
But yeah, Eddie Arnold wrote it with I think Cindy Walker was who she wrote. I think it was Cindy. I know it might not have been her, but I think it was. Could have been. It is. I just looked it up because I was saying, "Don't." Yeah, Cindy Walker. I was right. Thank God. All right. So that was the deal.
Well, hey, listen. That's all the low grade humor I got for you tonight.
Right.
So I'm going to let you get back.
Well, good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Likewise. Take care.
Right. Bye. Cindy wrote or co-wrote like 650 songs, but when you see it as C. Walker, you think it could be Charlie Walker. No, I knew that was Cindy Walker with Eddie Arnold. And like I say, most people, I think of the Ray Charles version. So 888-876-5593 if you want the final word, and we've only got about, 4 minutes of final words, so maybe I'll just prattle on my own. Sometimes when you read the headlines, you realize that you're going to need to diagram it. Bicyclist kidnaps driver after she hit him with her car. Well, that'll show her. A Florida man is facing a lot of charges. He kidnapped a female driver at knife point following a minor traffic incident. So, and he, by the way, is, you think this is a kid, right? No, he's 67 years old, Danny Phelps. And he's charged with kidnapping and assault with a deadly weapon, the knife, I suppose, and tampering with a witness. And this was the week before, but it's in February of this year. Police were called to a pharmacy in Lake City, which is just west of Jacksonville, about 60 miles. And anyway, the call was in response to false imprisonment and aggravated assault. And so here come the officers. They meet with the victim. A pharmacy technician who was about to embark on her medication delivery rounds when the incident took place. And so she said, yeah, about 11:30 in the morning, she was leaving the pharmacy in her car when she came across a man on a bicycle at a traffic light. Both she and the cyclist signaled each other to proceed, but as she started moving, the cyclist also moved into the intersection, and there was a minor collision. Well, at that point, the woman exited her vehicle, wanted to check on the cyclist. Oh, my God, have I hurt the guy and all this? So she attempts to call for help. He knocks the phone out of her hand, picks up a knife, from somewhere in his body, threatens her, demands a ride. Now, fearing for her safety, she said, get in. And so she places the bicycle in her vehicle. I don't know what kind of vehicle, obviously, something large enough, and drove him to his requested location. At that point, he was sitting in the front passenger seat with an open pocket knife on his lap. When he reached his destination, he exited the vehicle, took the bicycle, and left. The woman returned to the pharmacy and reported the incident. Okay, so next day, Danny Phelps calls the police and identifies himself and said, I've been hit by one of, he doesn't call the police, actually, he calls the pharmacy. Says, I've been hit by one of your vehicles. I want a replacement for my bicycle. Well, that's all he had to do. That's when police were able to trace the callback number, and they ultimately found him. And yeah, he had also contacted the Lake City Police Department reporting he'd been hit by a vehicle during cycling. And so needless to say, there were some interviews. And the bottom line to that is they arrested him. And he was demanding a ride from the driver, yes, because his bicycle tire was damaged. And he stuck a claim. Yeah, the pharmacy should pay me. Well, he won't need much money where he's going to be for a while. All right, so that pretty much is going to be a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. And there's 3 hours of this tomorrow night, so I hope you'll call again. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.